and welcome, listeners, to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamperon, your host for this program, and we're really excited to bring you some great information about health, wellness, and issues in alternative natural medicine today. Just a quick announcement, if you're around the New York area this week, Dr. Kamai and myself are doing a tour of the New York Botanical Gardens. That's going to be May 27th, and you can get more information at the website naturalnurse.com. And on with the show. Oh, I've been waiting to do this show for a very, very long time, because on the phone with me is one of my esteemed friends and colleagues, and believe it or not, my housemate from medical school days, Dr. Gaetano Morello, board-certified naturopathic physician. He practices at Complementary Health Center in West Vancouver, B.C., Canada, and he has his B.S. from University of British Columbia and his Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine degree from the Bastyr University of Natural Health Sciences, my alma mater. And for the past 20 years, Dr. Morello has been training and educating physicians, pharmacists, medical students, health for, food store personnel on the use of natural medicines, and he sits on the Quality Assurance Committee for the College of Naturopathic Physicians of BC, and he's a frequent guest on radio shows like mine and TV and print media. And today we're going to be talking about his latest book, Whole Body Cleansing, Transform Your Health Through Gentle Purification and Effective Detoxification. Gus, how the heck are you?
Eugene, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, it's great to have you on. I can't believe that we're talking, and we're both been practicing for many, many years, and we're both successful naturopathic doctors, and you know, talking about many different aspects of holistic medicine. So tell us a little bit about, I know you always wanted to write a book. Both you and I in school were always writing. I, published my first book in 1999 and successive books since then. But I know you were always interested in writing a book. Why'd you write a book on whole body cleansing?
Well, you know, it was an area of interest that I've had for a number of years, and I was just really getting tired of seeing so much misrepresentation about what whole body detoxification is all about. And there was a lot of stuff on the internet. There was a lot of materials being printed.
A lot of clueless people, huh, Gus?
You still use that word. Yeah, a lot of clueless people out there putting out information that was misleading the public. And I just wanted to write something that would give them an understanding of the science of detoxification, and there's a proper and improper way of doing it. And that's one of the reasons why I put the book together.
So remember me in class, Gus, I used to say, read the literature.
Well, a lot of people don't read the literature.
That's right, and exactly.
The bigger problem is when they read the literature, they can't interpret it.
So that's true.
So there's a lot of, and the literature is important, but there's also interpretation of literature. You know, I just went through, last year we just went through our pharmacology upgrade, because in the province of British Columbia, we do have full prescription rights, and we have to do these upgrades every so many years. And so, going through the upgrade, I remember speaking to the pharmacologist at the University of British Columbia, who did this upgrade course for us. And we were looking at statin drugs, cholesterol lowering drugs, and him himself, you know, this is the head of pharmacology, was telling us that, you know, the difference between an individual who takes a statin drug like Lipitor and one who keeps their cholesterol levels elevated, the difference in mortality is less than 1%. And so I actually was 0.1% to be exact. And so I said, okay, 0.1%, wow. I mean, you can exercise and get 30%. Yeah. So why would you even prescribe the drug? He goes, well, because it's still 0.1%. It makes a difference.
Oh, God.
So it's really interpretation of the literature is a pretty important aspect of what we do.
Very clueless. well, me and Gaetano go way back, so we have a lot of funny anecdotes from certainly school days and being roommates there. Now, you know, talk about detoxification. I was reading a book, and it had me just on the floor laughing when you were talking about one of our roommates who would always try all these zany detox schemes. And I know who you're talking about. We won't name names to protect the innocent, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
And it's great because, you know, you would know that, right?
And I was laughing so hard. But anyway,
people, you know,
when a naturopath says, "I'm going to detox," people think that you're dealing with drunkards or people on hard street drugs or things like that. What's this whole concept of detoxification?
Well, what it is you know, and back to the roommate, but you only you would know that, which is great, and you know, and that's where I really started observing about detoxification. One of our roommates, and actually, Dr. Z was in this house as well. he was always detoxifying, and he looked terrible. I mean, this guy did not look healthy,
right.
And that's when I really started questioning the process of detoxification. I wanted to find out why this individual was looking so terrible while he was supposed to be doing something that was healthy for him, and the bottom line was he was doing something incorrect. And so, and we'll talk about what that was as we progress through this program, but the reason why detoxification is so important is because we have absolute evidence, and there is nobody in the mainstream or the holistic area of medicine that disagrees with the fact that all of us carry environmental toxins. In other words, environmental chemicals that are toxic to us. There was a study done, and this is a pretty well-known, called the Toxome Project, where they actually examined chemical toxicities in humans throughout the world. And one of the studies they did, the exam, this is well-known, they examined the umbilical cords in newborn infants. They tested for 400 chemicals. They found 280 chemicals in the umbilical cords of newborn infants. They did analysis on people's adipose tissue. Every adipose tissue analyzed all carried toxic chemicals in their adipose tissue. They did analysis of children. An interesting analysis was when children play on CCA-treated play sets. CCA stands for chromated copper arsenate. It's basically a pesticide used
like
to...
Like the pressure treated lumber.
That's
stuff.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And when children played on that on those play sets, I mean, think about this. They're just touching them for 30 minutes a day for 2 weeks. Those children accumulated more arsenic in their bloodstream than we would in a lifetime. So there is absolutely no doubt in anyone's mind that we're all carrying chemicals. The argument becomes whether or not those chemicals are having a detrimental effect on human physiology. That's where the argument lies. There is the school of thought that it's doing nothing, and then there's a school of thought where we come from and saying, you know what, it is doing something. I'd rather not have those things in my body because we have enough evidence to show that it is causing damage.
There's also another school that you might throw out there that I was thinking about, that there's a, you know, you look at the literature, and some of it is on, you know, more acute poisoning type of data, and then quite a bit is on chronic toxicity. Can you tell us the difference between the, you know, kind of like the loading theory, like we ascribe to more like the loading theory, where like toxins accumulate over a very long time, and it's like kind of like a
Right, and yes. So there's, for example, you can have, okay, we'll give you a really simple example that everybody can relate to. Maybe not everybody, but you know, when you drink an excessive amount of alcohol, you can become intoxicated because the body, the liver can't get rid of the alcohol quick enough. So that's like, that's, you can almost call that almost acute toxicity in a certain facet. And then there's the other one, the one that Dr. Z just mentioned, that accumulates over time. And these are chemicals that we are exposed to on an ongoing basis that the body can't just get rid of quick enough. So what happens is they become stored in your adipose tissue. And to give you an example of that, which really, really clearly shows the effects of chemicals in the human body chronically. And so there was a study that appeared in Toxicological Sciences, and this is around 2002. And what they did was they wanted to associate, or they wanted to look at the study and see what happens when an individual begins to lose weight. And so what they found was this. There was about 45 women tested. They were put on a calorie-restrictive diet and given an exercise program. So what happened with these women was as they were on this program, they began to lose weight, and they measured the weight loss. Now, what was interesting about the study was one of the things that they measured were organochlorines. Organochlorines are some of the most common pesticide found in foods. 80 to 90% of all U.S. foods contain pesticides in them. What they found was, as these women were losing weight, their organochlorine levels were rising. Why were they rising? Because as they were losing adipose tissue, as they were getting weight loss, the chlorines were being excreted out of the adipose tissue and into the bloodstream. What was also happening, which is of interest to us, is that as those organochlorines were being excreted into the bloodstream, building blood levels, these individuals' T3 levels, which is their active thyroid hormone, were dropping dramatically. In other words, their metabolic rates were lowering substantially based on these chemicals interfering with thyroid function. In other words, they're endocrine disruptors. Right. So what was happening with these people was they were plateauing in their weight loss regimen now, and then once they got off the program, they gained even more weight. This is an example of chronic accumulation of toxins in adipose tissue and what happens when these chemicals are being released if we don't do anything about them.
Now, when they go to the allopathic doctor who just basically checks their thyroid and says you're low in your thyroid or you have, you know, TPO antibodies or you have Hashimoto's, they'll just treat that without looking at the true cause, which is one of our naturopathic philosophical tenets, treat the underlying cause.
Treat the underlying cause and find what is the causative factor. Now there's a lot of link and there's a lot of interest in the fact that perhaps one of the issues with the overweight and obesity epidemic in the United States is the fact that these chemicals, and there's even names for them now in relation to obesity, are creating this epidemic besides just the food, obviously the high caloric intake and the lack of exercise. But this could be another contributing factor that's creating this. And you know, and Dr. Z, one of the issues, and you're aware of this, some of these chemicals is the fact that some of them go on these U-curves. And what we mean by U-curves, you know what the U-curves are, but what we mean by that is that some of these compounds actually have effects at low dosages, no effect at medium dosages, and effects at high dosages. So sometimes in the medium dosages, oh, it's having no effect, but it is having effects at different levels. So it's quite a complex problem and something that we need to resolve. We need to treat and we need to look at.
Now, you also mentioned in your book about the effect of how our body kind of deals with these toxins. It's like, okay, so the question is, we know that we're laden with toxins, and there's some belief that sometimes our indoor environment can even be more toxic than our outdoor environment. And you know, it's interesting, in my rheumatology class that I teach at the university, you know, I helped found the University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine, Gus.
Well, I know you did.
So, but one of the interesting things is there was a study, and this blows me away, that people with lupus, they had pets, and they found the same damage to their DNA, double-stranded DNA, to their pets than they had, which is a clear hallmark of lupus, actual damage to your DNA. So tell us what these toxins do to you, and then I want you to follow up with asking, well, how normally would our body handle these toxins instead of stuffing them in the fat cells?
Yeah, see, this is there's the example. You just gave an example. It damages DNA. It does. And so what we're learning is that some of these compounds now we're calling them obesogens. And what those are actually compounds that cause havoc in lipid metabolism and apogenesis as well, creating this promotion of obesity. And what they do is there's a whole bunch of phases in DNA transcription. In other words, your DNA is your book on how to make you. And these chemicals can have an impact on them. One of the ways that I give an example of this, because, you know, genetics can be very complex, and there's all sorts of nuclear proteins that these compounds can affect and change these compounds' behaviors. But one of the, there's a great example that I do talk about in the book, and it's an example of an article that your listening audience can go look at, and it appeared in Discover Magazine 2006 November issue. And it really highlights this issue. And what there was a picture of two scientific photos of two individuals. One individual was about 6'1", and large-framed individual. And the second one was 5'9", excuse me, and 5'9", medium to small-framed. They were obviously different in sizes. They were different in looks. But the interesting aspect of this, the reason why they appeared in this cover, was because those two individuals were identical twins. Their DNA was exactly the same. What happened? What happened to those two individuals was they were separated at birth, and they grew up in two different environments. The compounds they consumed, the foods they ate, the water they drank, that differential changed the behavior of their DNA. What we call that is the phenotype.
Right.
So, and what that looks like, it looks something like this. It's like the genome, which is the textbook on how to make you, and which is found in every single cell of your body. That's the textbook. Contains these chromosomes. The chromosomes are the chapters in that book. There's about 23 chapters, 23 pairs of chromosomes. So 23 chapters in that book. And within the chapters of this book on how to make you are sections. Those sections are your genes. Now, for example, in chapter 22, section 265, if you spill something on the section that says, thou shalt be 6'1", and you cover it up, and now you can't read it, and it says, thou shalt be blank, 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 you make something up. Okay, maybe 5'9".
Okay, 5'9", sounds good.
Right, and that's what happens.
Wow. Great analogy.
And that's a really good analogy that's easy for people to understand instead of going into really complex description of histones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can go into that, and that gives you an idea of what these – and having said that, what can these compounds do? They can do thousands of different damages to the body.
Yeah.
Because it can impact the DNA, and this is the new field called epigenetics, as you're familiar with, that really is you know, opening up all sorts of – well, cans of worms, having said, but it really continues to promote and talk about what we've been talking about for over 20 years, Eugene.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have these things accumulating in our bodies. Now, normally they should be handled by various mechanisms in the body, particularly in our liver and kidneys, and actually every cell has these chemical detoxification factories in a way.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about those.
Well, the body does have, as you clearly point out, detoxification systems. The major one, as we well studied in school, in medical school, was the complex system of the liver.
Right.
And the liver, and we call these, in scientific terms, we call them phase one and phase two. And so what happens is, you know, when you consume foods, it gets broken down your gastrointestinal tract. Hopefully you have a healthy digestive tract. And then all that, those materials that are digested and absorbed into the blood, they don't go into the body. They go directly into the liver and where the liver processes them. A lot of these things the liver has to detoxify. So it has to break down, eliminate any kind of compound out of it, and then push it into the bile, back into the gastrointestinal tract, and hopefully eliminate it through the body or into the urinary tract. So what happens is these chemicals, we can't really get rid of them. This is why we need this complex phase one and phase two. And phase one and phase two, really it's one of them is a changing of the molecules, and the second one, the phase two, is a conjugation phase. And to make it simple, again, to give you an analogy, it's something like this. A toxin is very much like oil paint that dries on your skin.
Hmm.
And when oil paint dries on your skin, you can't wash it out with soap and water. You can't.
Right.
That is exactly the same as a toxin in the body. You can't get rid of it. It's stuck. How do you get rid of it?
You have to go through phase one and phase two. So what is phase one? Phase one is taking turpentine and rubbing it on that oil paint stain on your skin. What that does, it breaks it down in almost into a solution. Now, that turpentine and that paint are actually more toxic than the paint, which
right.
is exactly what happens when a chemical goes through a phase one process. Now it's got to go through phase two. What's phase two? Well, I got turpentine and paint on my skin. What I have to do? I got to wipe it off. I got to wipe it off with a cloth. Phase two is a cloth. Well, now it's off the skin. Now that cloth, what do you do with the cloth? Well, you got to put it in a garbage disposal system with hazardous materials to get out of your house and be brought to a safe zone. So what happens to that the compound? We'll make this simple. It goes into the bile. The liver's producing bile constantly. That bile eventually ends up in the small intestine. That bile then is carrying that chemical toxin. Now, 98% of bile is reabsorbed back into the bloodstream, which means toxins can go back into the bloodstream unless soluble fiber is present in your gut. So you need fiber to bind that bile with a chemical toxin and then eliminate it out of the body. So detoxification, which is ongoing continuously in your body, really has a dietary component to it as well. You first of all, you need things to support the liver to make sure that you have enough turpentine and enough cloth, but also that you have enough systems that can dispose of it. Fiber is one of the compounds that you need in your gut at all times. The average American consumes, what, 10 to 15 grams of fiber a day? Not enough soluble fiber.
Too low.
And
you were talking about, on page 100, you were talking about, you know, fasting. Now, fasting's good as far as it, you have rapid turnover of the adipose, but what you're saying is that you need that fiber to,
bind.
You know, kind of pick up the bile. So maybe a combination of those two things like that.
Yes. If you combine the two, then you got
right.
deep, because one of the things that we talk about, you know, when we look at fasting and you know.
Oh, wait. Let's go back to our clueless roommate.
Okay.
He would
Perfect.
He would
He
would juice and do things, and then he would, you know, get more toxic, and then he would
right.
do colonics without the other part and get more I mean, he was doing things without a total program is what it sounds like.
Yeah, he was fasting, so he was breaking down adipose tissue, the chemicals that were going into his bloodstream, like, you know, I just showed you one
right.
of the studies. I mean, there's many studies showing that when you lose weight, chemicals accumulate in the bloodstream.
Exactly.
So he was accumulating these chemicals. These chemicals were going into, they were damaging the body, but they were going into the liver. Now, the liver couldn't process them fast enough, but as it was processing them, they were going into the gastrointestinal tract. Because he had no fiber, they were going back into the bloodstream. So when these chemicals go into the bloodstream, what you create is you create fires. These are free radicals. So these fires are burning tissues. And the fire extinguisher that you have, that your body has naturally, is something called glutathione. Well, when you're dealing with all these chemicals, you only have so much glutathione. So he doesn't have enough glutathione, so he was creating forest fires all over the body, and he was looking like burnt mountains. You know, when a mountain has a forest fire, it doesn't look very, very nice after.
No.
And that's what was going. He was aging very rapidly because of these forest fires all over the body and not having enough fire extinguishers to put out those forest fires, because he wasn't binding the chemicals for excretion. This was his problem.
Yeah, he wasn't getting them out. And then he wasn't probably building up his antioxidant reserve.
That's right.
Like what you talk about in Chapter 7 called scientific detoxification. This
right.
is where you build a strong foundation. Because it's kind of ironic, Dr. Morello, that the very person who has to detox isn't ready to detox many times when they come in your office. Explain that.
Yeah, sounds
like an oxymoron. It's like the guy comes in and says, I want to detox, and you tell the patient, you know, you need to detox, but you can't do it now.
That's right.
You're too toxic. And they look at you like, what the heck are you talking about? But
right.
there's a methodology to my madness there.
Yeah, there is. And the methodology is the body must be prepared for it. You must prepare the body. One, like you said, you have to build antioxidant loads. What are antioxidants? Fire extinguishers, because there's going to be a lot of fires created because of it. And to give an example, I think I wrote about it in the book. I can't remember now. It's been a while. One of the things, for example, if you're intoxicated, one of the worst things you can do is take Tylenol the next day.
Oh, You're right.
And the reason why you can't take it is because when your detox system is overwhelmed, and what we mean by that is that phase one is continuously moving. In other words, you have lots of turpentine in your body. What you don't have enough of is cloth.
Right.
So what happens is you get phase one byproducts. Well, a phase one byproduct for Tylenol is something called N-acetylbenzoquinonimine. That compound is so toxic that it can dissolve your liver in 36 hours, and you'll die from Tylenol poisoning. So you never take Tylenol after or during a hangover. You just don't do it because of this real issue that exists. So you need to be very, very, very careful when you're doing this kind of stuff. And so back to your original question. The original question is, you know, well, you got to prepare yourself. First, antioxidants are critically important. Second, you got to make sure that the digestive tract is functioning optimally. Because one of the things that, you know, Dr. Z, he was talking about this even before I was talking about this, and that's healthy gastrointestinal tract, leaky gut syndrome.
Although you don't get that. You don't get that from eating 20 tofu burgers at a sitting.
No, you don't. Well, I remember those days.
Remember those days?
Yeah, I remember the 20 tofu burgers you put down.
That puts a lot of strain on your GI tract.
Right, but
I don't do things like that anymore.
Very vegetable-based, so they weren't damaging that lining. And so one of the interesting things about the gut lining is there's a really fascinating aspect to your gut. And one of the most fascinating aspects of your gut is the fact that what separates the lining of your gut, which is an external system, from your blood, is one cell. One microscopic entity separates all that gunk you have in your small intestine from your bloodstream. And that lining of cells, histologically, is fascinating because not only is it one cell thick, it has these interesting junctions in between each cell we call tight junction. There's desmosomes made up of all sorts of different proteins that hold it together. And one of the things that happens when you have an unhealthy digestive system is that that lining actually breaks down. It becomes porous.
Yeah. There's all kinds of inflammatory things that happen and cytokines that are released, and it kind of unglues the glue.
Right.
You know?
And to give you an analogy of that, since you like analogies, Dr. Z, to give you an analogy of that, it's almost like your gut lining is like the roof on your house. And when that roof has holes in it, and you live in a place like I live where it rains a lot, water gets inside the house and it can hit the furniture and create mold, and that's like eczema on your skin. It can hit your television set and create short circuits and the TV doesn't work. That's like hitting your eyes.
Yeah.
It can hit your furnace and your furnace doesn't work. That's like hitting your lungs. It can hit anything in your house. And
so
it
we
can really
take a break,
cause
right?
havoc
some...
in the body. So
Dr.
You
Morello,
need, one
we've
of the preparations for a detox system is to prepare your gut to make sure that's healthy.
Okay. Well, we need to take a quick break. I hear the music and they need to do some station ideas and we'll reintroduce you and finish talking this next half hour with Dr. Gaetano Morello, author of Whole Body Cleansing. Stay with us, folks. Dr. Z and the Natural Nurse. And author of Whole Body Cleansing, Transform Your Health Through Gentle Purification and Effective Detoxification. And, you know, Dr. Morello is a long-term friend of mine and colleague and great brother, and I'm really excited to be giving his book full stage right here on this wonderful syndicated program. So, Dr. Morello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Really enjoying the program, getting a lot of laughs in, too.
A lot of memories.
Funny
down memory
stuff.
Life's been 21 years.
Hey, congratulations. You're married, have a kid, and all this stuff like that. That's great. I never thought you'd get married.
Yeah, I have two children, and, it definitely changes the way you view things and,
Well, we don't want our kids to get toxic. You know, they're inheriting a toxic world from us, and so handing down this knowledge is... extremely important, you know?
And this is why, you know, one of the things to, you know, basically toxic load in the body is really equivalent to your exposure to chemicals minus your body's ability to get rid of chemicals. So one of the ways that you detoxify is just by minimizing exposure. So one of the things that we've made a conscious effort for is to make sure that we try to eat as organically as we can,
right.
Minimizing our exposure to some of the pesticides in some of these foods.
Right.
You know, we use biodegradable cleaning agents. We use more naturally based cosmeceuticals. We have air purifiers,
poisons, right?
We try to have wood floors and all the. So we have tried to make a conscious effort of contributing to the health of our kids and doing that. And I think one of the things that we all need to learn is how can we minimize exposure? You know, there was an analysis done on bald water, and people can find this on the Environmental Working Group website. And what they did was they analyzed 10 different bald waters, and they just took them off, grocery shelf.
Yeah.
Areas and so they analyzed and they found 38 contaminants in the bottled waters, and you know, one of the contaminants was actually Tylenol. So bottled water has Tylenol. Now, what's interesting about that, what's really fascinating about that is where did the Tylenol come from? Well, it came from your sink and your toilet. And so what that is, it really brings about an understanding, something that I didn't even realize, that water is all recirculated. All this water that we're flushing down the toilet, that we're flushing down the sink, becomes eventually drinking water because it gets processed, goes into the oceans, and rises up and then falls right back down again.
Yeah.
We are in a fishbowl. So to
speak. It's a great cycle. And so with that in mind, we need to, you know, treat the earth a little bit better, and that's what this is all about. Because, you know, for instance, a lot of the mercury comes from, you know, fossil fuels that again fall down and get in the fish. I mean, the fish aren't swallowing thermometers, Gus.
No, and it's
they got to be getting the mercury somewhere else. So, you know, that's, you know, probably where they're getting it from.
Yeah, well, an analysis of 300 and I believe 80 different lakes, rivers, and remote streams in the United States found mercury in every single one of those areas. So, yeah, I mean, it's everywhere.
It's a shame. You know, fish. I know. We've fished a lot through the years. You know, in different places, and certainly talked about fishing.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
And I know that you were a big fly fisher, as I recall. Yeah. And you know, then you get the trout in, or the salmon, or steelhead, and it's even that's poison. So.
Well,
you know,
living in the West Coast, you know, I have a lot of sushi lovers there, and most of the people that we analyze have, you know, mercury levels in their blood in their bloodstream. So, people carry mercury. We all do, and we know that it's a toxic substance. And so, you know, we need to learn about these things and be aware of these things. And I know it's a lot to be aware of. I know it's a lot to worry about. But you know, we as physicians, we see all these patients, and you know. We don't want them to come in when they're really, really sick. We want them to come in when they're healthy, and we can teach them how to stay healthy, to prevent some of these illnesses. And we don't know what percentage of the illnesses we now have are contributable to some of these chemicals in the environment.
Now, let's put together a program for the listeners. And we want them, of course, get the book and read it about the thorough. But, you know, we need to think about the more scientific aspect of supporting things, and then, of course, we talked about various keys to a healthy diet and healthy living with not really exposing yourself to toxins around the house and things like that, which is a fabulous idea, and personal body products as well. But, okay, so now the patient is there, and so you probably need to do some measurements of their toxins to see how toxic they are, or do you just assume they're toxic and have them do the program?
Yeah, you know, sometimes we do that. Most of the time, you know, the assumption is that we're all toxic anyways. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who's not toxic. And so, you know, the reason why sometimes we do the analysis is just so people can see the difference. And so they can see, The fact that now they have lower levels of some of these heavy metals or some of these organochlorines. So in some cases, we do tests. In most cases, we just assume it saves them money, and it teaches them about, improving their body physiology by minimizing and getting rid of some of these build-up toxins in their system. So, and to do so, I think we first have to go through the number one thing, and that's make sure that you have a healthy digestive tract. And the problem that we have with digestion is that we think that the digestive tract, the gut, is basically made for breaking down foods, absorbing those nutrients, and then eliminating the waste products. And that's only a small part of the story. One of the things that people have to realize is that 80% of your immune system is located in your gut. They have to realize that there's just as many neurotransmitters produced in the gut as there is in the brain. They need to realize that the gut houses over 100 trillion bacteria that have all sorts of functionalities to do with detoxification. People have to realize a lot of detox systems are associated with the gut, and that without the gut, you can't really detoxify. So having said all that, my goodness gracious, you better take care of the gut, and we have to do that. So the number one thing is to really handle the gastrointestinal tract.
And so once people have, gas and bloating and things like that, what's a sign of a toxic GI tract, for instance?
Well, the signs of a see, and that's interesting because you can have eczema, and that's a sign of is a sign of an unhealthy gut. But right. One of the things you have to look at, one of the questions is, have you had gut issues in the past? Have you had indigestion? Have you had constipation? Have you had diarrhea? Have you had any of these symptomologies?
Or maybe your history, have you taken repeated antibiotics or
right.
things like that?
Perfect question. Have you taken repeated antibiotics? Exactly. Those kinds of questions we give you an understanding of is if there is a issue with the microbiota, the bugs in the lower gut, will give you an idea of whether or not you may have had impeded acid secretion in the stomach, which is really important because it's really acid in the stomach acts as an antiseptic. It acts to break down proteins, cause also. And then if you take an antacid long term, you're going to create dysbiosis, as you're well aware of. I mean, you were talking about dysbiosis 25 years ago.
That's right. That's the number one prescribed drugs now are these H2
right.
blockers.
Exactly. I mean, they're prescribed for everyone. So there's lots of issues that occur because of that. So we need to be very cognizant of that. So we need
should
to
write
look
a book
at
together.
Those
how,
things.
How acid blockers will kill you, because not only do they rob you of many of your minerals, which require an acid environment for assimilation, but then they create this dysbiosis, which then these bacteria make endotoxins, which then basically poison the body and rob the body of these glutathione, because if you're fighting poisons given off by your gut biome that get absorbed, you already mentioned it, you absorb all these things back into the system, then you're fighting a war that you don't have to fight, and you may need those resources to detoxify chemicals. Am I understanding that right?
Right. Exactly. So you need to fix that. So you should never even attempt any type of detoxification unless you resolved all these issues that you just talked about. You just named a whole bunch of other stuff,
right.
which tells you why you have to take care of that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you can get into a lot of trouble with detoxification. So you need to take care of the gut. So that's area
now what about
one.
Breaking down the fat? Is there a safe way to do that with, like, I know we were trained in using carnitine and alpha-lipoic acid and lipotropic agents. I threw out a bunch of terms. Maybe you can exercise,
yeah, I mean,
prescriptive exercise.
Some of these things are, L-carnitine metabolizes fat and creates energy out of it.
Right.
Alpha-lipoic acid is a very unique type of antioxidant that both is water and fat soluble. It's quite unique, very powerful. good clinical research with alpha-lipoic acid. These are all compounds that are pretty important to utilize. One of my favorite compounds that I use is curcumin. With a high, you know, a product that has, is bioavailable and stays. Lots of curcumins don't stay in the blood very long. Get one that stays in the blood for long periods of time.
So it has to be bound to the phosphocholine or something like that.
I don't think those work as well as the claims are. One of the, my favorite ones is something called BCM95, and it is just outstanding. I mean, you can see. With this BCM95, if you utilize it, you can see, for example, results with pain and inflammation. You will see a response within 2 hours.
Wow!
Almost right across the board. I mean, I've given it to maybe 600 patients. I've had 95% response within 2 hours of taking it for pain and inflammation. It is absolutely remarkable.
So that's faster than NSAIDs or prescription.
Yeah, this is the fastest thing I've ever seen. I was so.
What's it called again?
BCM95.
So it's a 95% curcuminoids fraction.
Yeah, and it's they actually micronize it. They add phospholipids to it and turmeric oils, and so the absorption is very rapid. You'll see absorption within an hour, and then what you'll see is you'll see sustainability in the bloodstream at fairly high levels for about 6 to 8 hours. Because the half-life of curcumin is in the body is maybe 15 minutes to half an hour. And this stays around for a long, long period of time. So you get these tremendous, abnormally remarkable results so quickly.
That's great.
Hard to believe.
Great for our pain sufferers, that's for sure. But
you will see responses.
You're saying
very
it helps with detoxification, too. How does it help with the detoxification?
Well, in a number of different ways. One of the ways it helps with detoxification is that what curcuminoids do is actually slow down phase one, and they stimulate phase two. Remember, you have lots of turpentine, so you don't need to have an impact on that, but you don't have enough cloth, so it creates more cloth. So it creates a lot more cloth to wipe out the chemicals. The other thing as far as detoxification is that it's a very powerful antioxidant, increasing glutathione levels, putting out fires. It's a great fire extinguisher. So it really is has benefits there. It is powerful anti-inflammatory. Not only is it a selective COX-2 inhibitor, but it also works on all sorts of other pathways, adhesion factors, TNF-alpha, all these compounds that are associated with inflammation and inflammation in the gut as well. Very, very effective. For gastrointestinal inflammatory, you will be very, very surprised at the effects you get with this when you dose it properly. It's a remarkable ingredient.
Look into that. That's fascinating. So then you want to. So we're supporting the liver.
So we want to support the liver. We just mentioned a couple of compounds. You know, milk thistle is quite well known for liver support, and you can utilize some of those. There's another compound that I highly recommend. It's called, for short, it's called NAC, N-A-C, stands for N-acetylcysteine. And the reason why this is an important compound, actually in hospitals they use it intravenously for individuals coming in with mushroom poisoning, and NAC stimulates glutathione production, so it can actually elevate the levels of glutathione in your liver, and glutathione is a critically important compound in the liver for detoxification because it is the key to detoxifying metals.
Yeah.
So heavy metals are out of the body through glutathione, so that's a pretty important compound to have. So we need to elevate the levels of glutathione. One of the ways we can do that is with N-acetylcysteine.
Yeah, NAC. I remember us reading the Merck back in
last
year, and it was the only thing that we found in the allopathic Merck book that was semi-natural. It was the treatment of acetaminophen toxicity with NAC. We were like amazed. Wow.
All the other stuff
in the Merck was all about drug-orientated things.
And we're just talking about acetaminophen and some of the byproducts, and this is why you need it, because this is how you can attack it before it happens, right? So you'll need, so NAC is something that you need to include, and then what you need to include is you need to include lots of fiber in the gut.
Yeah.
You need to, when we look at the Burkitt family, and the Burkitt family did most of the research in fiber, this is what popularized fiber.
Right.
You know, when they looked at African villages, they found that these individuals were consuming up to 75 grams of fiber a day.
Huge.
which is huge. And, you know, and fiber is such a fascinating, you know, it's a boring ingredient in certain ways, but on another hand, it's quite fascinating because it has all sorts of benefits. It's a compound that never gets absorbed into the blood. It stays in the gut, yet it has all sorts of benefits. So, for example, it can lower your cholesterol levels by sequestering bile. It can detoxify by sequestering bile. It can be used as a food for the microbiota in the colon, creating all sorts of compounds that are beneficial to your health, like butyric acid is one of them. It can actually produce vitamins in the gut, like biotin and vitamin K. It produces compounds called bacteriocins, which actually are antibiotics, which is really fascinating. One of the things that we found in with the microbiota is that some of these bacteria actually get through the epithelial lining, and they attach to they don't get through the epithelial lining. They attach themselves to dendritic cells, which are through the epithelial lining, and dendritic cells are an immune cell, and they actually send signals to these dendritic cells, and these dendritic cells communicate those signals with white blood cells in the blood. Fascinating stuff.
To basically reduce inflammation in the body.
That's right. So yeah. It's just, you know, it is quite the system that this body of ours has, and you know, we need to support it in any way we can to improve some of these mechanisms.
And then, of course, you got to cut out the junk in your diet, like people drinking booze, coffee, refined sugars, a lot of different, you know, non-organic meats and things like that.
Yeah,
and I know you're a big believer in coconut oil.
Yeah, well, my wife's a big believer in coconut oil, and it has a lot of benefits with it. So it's a great oil to use for cooking, and you know, there's lots of benefits from these oils applied to the skin as well. One of the things that I really encourage people to do is to really reduce the sugar consumption. I mean, the average American consumes about 200 pounds of sugar a year, and the problem with sugar, because everybody just relates sugar to diabetes, but the real problem with sugar, which I think people have to realize, is this: that when you drink a can of pop and you pick it up the next day, that can of pop is extremely sticky.
Right.
That's because sugar acts as a glue. When sugar is in the bloodstream, it also acts as a glue. The process in science we call it is called glycation. Glycation is the ability of sugar to bind to things on its own, creating all sorts of issues with hormones, with receptors, with all sorts of functionalities. So sugar is really a problematic compound that we consume on an ongoing basis, creating all sorts of havoc, and who knows what the... It's a toxin in itself.
I was going to say, it is the white... Remember I used to have that bumper sticker on my board. It said, white sugar, white death.
Yeah, I'd say, really, you know, yeah, you were ahead of your time back then, Dr. Z.
Tell us a little bit about where people can get your book, Gaetano.
They can get it on Amazon. I'm actually in the process of finishing my new one. And
yeah, really, what's that? What's that on?
Well, it's going to be it's an expanded version. It's going to have a large section on digestion,
okay,
and some of the things we just talked about.
Right.
A real expanded version. It's going to go into more detail about what all these compounds are, and then we're going to have there's going to be a very large section on weight loss and some of the new research, recent research. You know, really launched by the Hamilton Bale study. It was a landmark study, comparing or associating obesity to the toxic environment, and so it's going to have a lot of those things in it. We're going to go into detail of what obesogen is and what organotins are, a lot of new terminologies that are going to give us some real new insights into that these toxins are creating a lot of havoc. But we're going to go into more detail explanations of certain conditions. One of the conditions that everybody is suffering from right now is being overweight and being obese. So it's going to go into more detail into those particular areas.
Yeah, I know stress plays a big role in being heavy too, and stress is a toxin that we didn't really talk much about, but nonetheless.
Exactly. I mean, stress, because, and what does stress do? One of the issues with stress is that stress affects the sympathetic response. First of all, you get rises in adrenaline and cortisol. That triggers a sympathetic response. That sympathetic response will shut down blood vessels going to the gastrointestinal tract.
Right.
And what does that cause? Digestive disturbance.
Yeah. And the obesity and the
right.
the cortisol response and the belly
right.
fat and all that
those things.
Stuff.
So we can actually trace back, you know, because we all talk about all stress causes this. Well, how does it cause it? Well, it causes it because one of the reasons is sympathetic response. If you close down your gut, and what do we say about our gut? 80% of our immune system is located in your gut. So a bad gut, does that have an impact on your immune system? Of course it does. So all these interrelated, and so we don't just say stress causes this and this for the fact of saying it. We say it because we have enough knowledge and evidence.
Right.
Proving that it actually is doing that, and our goal as physicians, and you know, this would, you know, I know we've been doing this for years, is educating the public on these facts. That's why you have your show. I remember you talking about this show 20 years ago.
Remember?
So, yeah,
I started
of course. And you were doing radio shows.
I started the first holistic radio show in Seattle.
Right, I remember your show. I remember
with
that.
With the dirty shirt.
I remember. You know what I just remembered?
By the way, give my regards to Kim. If you ever get in touch with him, if you ever see him, tell him to send me an email. And Michael Murray.
You know, before I let you go, you got to remember this. Do you remember when you had this one individual that would say, and I think you did about, you said you cut 365 awes or something.
Yeah, I remember him.
That was Jimmy. Remember that?
Gentleman that I think he practices still in Canada up there. But anyway, we have to get together and just do a funny comedy show about naturopathic training.
That'd be great.
All right, good to see you and good to hear from you. Whole body cleansing, Dr. Gaetano Morello, ND. Transform your health through gentle purification and effective detoxification, available through Amazon and all basically many book stores and online things. And Gaetano, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure and, of course, just a wonderful time.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Z. It's been great.
You better stay in touch.
We'll do it again soon. You take care.
Better stay in touch.
Okay, for sure. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Remember, stay healthy, folks. See you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.